Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by NatureBox. You guys have heard me talk about NatureBox for the last couple of years on the show. If you're tired of eating the same bland food while trying to stay healthy, NatureBox has over 100 snacks just for that. It is friendship. Making smarter choices doesn't mean you have to eat boring food, just like we hate boring Big Brother. NatureBox makes snacks that are full of flavor and none of the junk. You won't be a have-not when you're on NatureBox, because I know that I am always trying to eat snacks on the go, and I love having NatureBox in the house. Like, go downstairs, grab a handful of coconut cashews, and be back up here making podcasts. NatureBox makes over 100 delicious snacks that are made with better-for-you ingredients. Simply choose what snacks you want. They get delivered right to you. My personal favorites are the pistachio power clusters and the dark cocoa nom noms. They're fantastic. NatureBox is constantly adding new and interesting snacks for you to discover every month. Plus, they believe you shouldn't eat something that you don't like. So if you try a snack and you don't like it, NatureBox will replace it in your next box for free. You can't do that with other snacks. So go to naturebox.com/RJP right now to get 2 bags of delicious snacks without any of the junk for free. That's naturebox.com/RJP for 2 free bags of bold and unique snacks delivered right to you in your next care package. naturebox.com/RJP to get 2 bags of snacks for free. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a man who certainly has no secret children in Ecuador. I'm Rob Sisterino, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. And wow, what a jam-packed show we have for you tonight, because we had an explosive Big Brother Sunday night to discuss with all of the events leading up to the live eviction from Thursday. And we've got a fantastic guest here for us. I think that perhaps one of the Mount Rushmore faces of Big Brother, certainly one of the greatest Big Brother winners of all time here, and somebody with has been brought up almost is like the 17th house guest on the live feeds that his name comes up so much. Here is the great Derek Levasseur. Derek, how are you?
Good. I'm just waiting for my stipend, Rob. I'm just waiting for my stipend.
yes. Between the live feeds and Twitter, responsible for how could you be what a puppet master. You've controlled every move of the entire season so far, Derek. Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I watched the show, and I honestly think is a good possibility I've been mentioned more on this season than was on my own.
So much airtime. Yeah. All right. No, and you're not dreaming. This is not a dream that Derek is here, of course. And Mrs. Levasseur not here either. Not like Nicole's dream.
I think that's the only time I got airtime. Yeah, Nicole had a dream about me. You know, they're talking about me so much. Can you really blame her? Honestly, I mean, that's the last thing she hears before she goes to bed.
All right, and of course, also here with us Sunday night to talk about everything going on the live feeds. Here's the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Oh, I'm just trying to quietly eat some Cheetos over here. Yeah,
don't make too much noise with the Cheetos. Anyway, very exciting show here tonight, and a million things to talk about here with Derek. We'll take your questions as well. Hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. All right. Well, Derek, first off, before we get into the Big Brother of everything, how's everything going in your world?
Honestly, everything's great. I'm home for a couple of weeks, just taking a break from the filming the show, just seeing the family again, and I leave at the end of this week and go back and just finish it out. And yeah, everyone's healthy. Everyone's happy. Everything's good.
And could you tell us what you're working on these days for those people who aren't following it that closely?
Yes. So I'm filming a show for Discovery ID called Hard Evidence. We're looking into a cold case. This season happens to be OJ Simpson. Wow. And it's kind of a first 48 meets Making a Murder, where there's two main people who go out, one being myself. And we go out and we try to find all the people that were originally involved in the case. We don't just take archival footage And it's all to date. Everything you're seeing is stuff that's going on in today's world. And we're trying to go back and reinvestigate the case with what we know today. And also, I just announced that I have a book coming out. So those are the two big things. And the book's called The Undercover Effect.
I'm sorry, say that one more time. I stepped on you with the book mention.
The book's called The Undercover Effect. I had to wait for some things because I actually got signed by Sourcebooks, which is a publishing company out of Chicago and also New York. And I've known for a while, but I couldn't really say anything. And there's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes when it comes to publishing a book. But it was something that I decided to write about a year ago. And I said I wouldn't put it out unless I was picked up by an actual company. I wasn't going to self-publish. I wanted to have some weight behind it. And, you know, I sent it out to the top 20 publishers, got some deals sent to me, and I felt that they were the best fit.
And when is the book out?
It's going to be a while. It's going to be a while. We announced it because it was on Publishers Marketplace, which is basically just for publishers. And I knew that somebody would care about it. So I wanted to put it out there. I wanted to be the first. But the book is actually still being written. There's different revisions being done. I'm still writing as we speak. So it's one of those things that probably won't be out till sometime next year. And I would assume it's going to be after Hard Evidence airs. So we'll have a little more momentum going into it.
Some lead time. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And when I first invited you to come on, that my email to you was like, hey, could we get you to come on here and talk about how it looks like that Paulie is going to have a runaway here. This is going to be, I'm going to have nothing to talk about for the next 7 weeks of the season. And in a week's time, things really started to turn around in the house. And so I would love to just sort of get your take on the latest events on Paulie and where it's all sort of fallen apart.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that email, but I actually said it a while ago on a Periscope that I saw Paulie's game coming to an end before it happened. That he was not in a good spot, even though it appeared to most viewers that he was. Won too many competitions too early, and just take out the side of what we really want to talk about is. As far as what he's saying, his social game, people were going to find a reason to put him on the block regardless, because the guys in the house, as much as they want to say they're broing out, they realize very quickly that statistically speaking, they're not going to beat Paulie in most competitions. And you'll say, oh, well, Victor could beat him. Yes, he's probably the only one who can go toe-to-toe with him. But I know for my game, I wouldn't feel comfortable going into a Final Five, Final Four with a Paulie if I didn't plan on taking him final two. So that was his biggest downfall, I think, was his competition wins and how well he was playing the game. Then there's the obvious things. I don't know why he did this. I'll ask him when he gets out. I don't know why he went in there and told everyone in the house that he had spoken to me before the season started. It doesn't make any sense. I think he was doing it as a way of kind of bragging and maybe validating himself as far as being a game player. But it was a wrong approach because he mentioned it so often, it actually made him a bigger threat.
So did you talk to him or was he just telling people that he talked to you?
No, he did. We did talk and I acknowledged that on the Periscope. So basically about 3 or 4 days before he left, he called me and said, hey, you know, actually Cody called me and said, hey, you know, my brother's going to be on. I know, crazy, right? You want to talk to him for a few? He took what I had to say. We've been talking about it, but I want your perspective too, because you won, you know, and it was about an hour conversation. If you consider an hour conversation over the phone coaching, then yes, I absolutely coached
him. Hold on.
Him.
I thought the rumors weren't true. You weren't a coach on this season.
Yeah. Apparently I was. So yeah, no, I spoke to him for about an hour and I did. I told him a lot of things. We talked about all the possible returners. He even asked me if I was actually coming back in, cause that was a rumor. And I told him about how I would play the game socially. Can't really tell him how to do the comps and stuff because you don't know what they're going to be or what the twist is. But I basically told him, don't get into showmance. If there are any returning players in there, get them out. Stay under the radar. Let everyone else make decisions. Don't be the front of the front of the pack. You know, you don't ever want to make it appear that you're in charge. He didn't really follow any of that. Same thing with James. I spoke to James in person. Mm-hmm. But that was only about a 15-20 minute conversation. And the big thing was, did I get them together before the season started? Absolutely not. And I hadn't spoken to Cole at all. So that rumor is completely false too.
Now, let me just say that in fairness to you, that I feel like that I've certainly seen a lot on Twitter, and even still in the house, you know, I watched on the live feeds that they're always talking about, like, oh, he's doing this. This is the he's doing this because Derek did this. I mean, it is very difficult to tell, because I've talked to people before they've played in these games, and you could tell somebody to do anything, but it's a little bit like, teach me to sing, or teach me to do, like, it, there's, people have certain abilities, and there's so much that you can talk to them about doing, but you really can't, I mean, what sort of important information could you give to a person in the course of an hour that's going to dictate their actions over the next 100 days?
Yeah, you're 100% right, especially with Big Brother, because it's not kind of like planned out. And ultimately, you're going to go in there and you're going to go on the fly. Whatever is presented to you based on who you are as a person is how you're going to react to it. You're not going to go back to your notes and pull it out. So I completely agree with you. But he's mentioned it a lot. And because he's mentioned it so often, it's brought a lot of light to it. Like you said, it's kind of an unwritten thing, but it happens a lot where some of the previous house guests and some of the previous Survivor members might have a heads up of who's going to be on the next season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even if that's the case, they usually don't go on the show and talk about who they spoke to before they got out there. It's usually kept close to the chest.
Yeah.
He chose not to do that. And because he did, I think it hurt his game. And I think it made it a bigger story than it really is. By no means is he my protege. If he were, he would not be doing a lot of the things he's doing, because I would have played completely differently.
Yeah, just to be real here, he's not your brother.
He's not. And the bottom line is, you guys all know, Cody's my best friend. And we all have best friends who have siblings. I know Pauly. I've hung out with Pauly before. But I live in Rhode Island. He lives in New Jersey. We don't see each other that often. We're not best friends. But by no means am I going to sit here, which some of your viewers probably want me to do, is sit here and just crush the kid, because he's a grown ass man. He's going to speak for himself when he gets out. And I'm not here to bash him when he's down. I don't agree with everything he's done. And that's all I can really say about it. I can't justify his actions while he's still in the house. That's for you guys to do with him.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's probably fair to say that if you had a conversation with him about what to do, that probably Cody had many conversations with him about what to do in terms of going into the house.
And you can see it. There's such a difference in the way they played the game. And Cody's his brother. They're mm-hmm. blood. Cody was good with all the women. All the females loved him. And Pauly has kind of like an adverse thing going. I think something else with Pauly that's kind of hurting him is he saw how tight Cody and I were. And he saw how tight Cody, Caleb, and I were, and he felt like he could have the similar thing in the house. And I think he's really kind of actually shocked that they're turning on him, because he thought they were going to bro it out. But that doesn't happen every season. You can't rely on it. And I think he really wanted to have a Hitmen alliance with a bigger group, and it's not working out.
But I think from the outside looking in, I think it's sort of easy to take a look at what you did in Big Brother 16 and say, oh, okay, that's easy. I can do that. I'll set that up, that whole thing up really easy. And I think that Pauly and, you know, I really haven't ever had a conversation with Cody about the inner workings of the game. But I don't know if he really understands all of the different levels that are involved. And I feel like that sort of like at the 101 level, I think he sort of got it. But I think that it was a lot more complicated to pull off what you did in Big Brother 16 than what it looked like.
You played the game before, not Big Brother, but Survivor. Easier said than done. Everyone can say, oh, it was easy what he did. Go in there and do it. Yeah. Go in there, trap yourself in the house with 15 other people that are all going for the same piece of cheese, and you let me know how easy it is. It's not. It's not easy, and you trick yourself. And that's what happened with him, and that's what's happened with a lot of other people. You have this preconceived idea of what you're going to do and how easy it's going to be because you've seen all the greats do it. Go in there and do it. It's not as easy as it looks. So you're right, 100%.
All right. So just to go back to the point where I think that things started to really get crazy, and really the showman's aside, you know, I think that that was probably something that you had mentioned that you advised strongly against going into it. But I really feel like the things started to go sour for Pauly at the point where Victor came back into the game. And I think that one of the biggest problems that he had there, which started to manifest this week, was that when Victor came back, I felt like that he let Paul own that relationship and let Paul say, bro, I'm telling you, friendship, I got this. Don't worry. I'll talk to Victor. And then he really became two steps away from Victor, as opposed to Paul, who was with Victor. And we saw that, you know, they're like doing galloping in the storage room together.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Paul's playing a great game, and he kept that distance. He kept the relationship separate because he wanted Paul to be his guy. I think also part of it was that Paulie wasn't willing to give anything. You know, when you're in an alliance like that with somebody, you have to make them feel like you're in it for them to get to the end too. And not only from editing, but watching the feeds, Paulie wanted his guy out every week, and he had tunnel vision on it. He didn't care about what you wanted. He was too forceful. I was always like, you know, I mean, I remember edits where they'd show me and they'd be like, Derek, what do you want to do? And I'm like, because I never wanted to say, because if you say, then it's like, he's doing what's good for his game. You want other people to make the decisions. And Paulie was like, no, this is who we need out this week, and I'm not budging. And that, I think, was the start of the cracks.
Right.
What I did notice is that I do think that he tried to replicate that style, because like Paul would say, you know, okay, we're getting out Day this week, but I want Bridget next week. And Paul would say, absolutely. And then the next week, Paul would say, you know, okay, like, but we got to get Zakiya out. And he's saying, oh, yeah, 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 we'll totally do that. And then he'll come around. Like, what you did was you said, oh, totally, I'm totally fine with that. I'm up for anything. And then you laid a bunch of groundwork and you subtly, like, changed their minds while they thought that they were changing their own minds. And like, so, like, Paulie kind of, I think, took that idea, which was like, I'll act really flexible and then be really firm. But he didn't like take the steps in between. And I think that's what really hurt him with Paul.
And
I think that goes back to what Rob's saying, is like, you can't teach somebody how to do that. Either it's innate and they have that ability, or they don't. You can't coach somebody to do it. That's not something that you retain. It's just something that you possess, and you either have it or you don't.
So then coming out of that week where Davon went out, where Paul, you know, Davon is Paul's ally. He doesn't really want to get rid of her, and Paulie really sort of, you know, asserts his will there. So we get to this second week now in a row where Victor is the HOH, and we don't have to get into when Paulie put himself up on the block during Paul's HOH, but I bet you didn't like that.
For all you future house guests, there's only one way to go home in Big Brother right now, and that's to be on the block. So regardless of what you think, you cannot go home if you're not on the block. That was my mentality. So as long as you weren't on the block, you were safe. Other than that, if you're up there, I don't care who you know, what you think you know, you got a 50% chance of going home. So yeah, I didn't agree with it.
So then we get to this week where they have this whole plan where they're going to set up. It's going to be Meech versus Zakiya. And I really felt like that he put so much of his political capital in the house into, I have to get Michelle out of the house. And I don't think it would have killed him to have Zakiya go home. I think that he would have been in a really good spot still if Zakiya went home. But he was just all in on Michelle going home. And we talked about a little bit about how that should he keep the person who he knows he can control and then let a wild card stay in the house in Michelle? Or did you feel like that was something he had to have that week?
You know, it's nice to have someone like a Zakiya who you know is going to be loyal to. I had Victoria, and I always tried to keep her, but whenever her name was mentioned, I never showed any hesitancy in the fact that she could go home. If she's there, great, but I agree with you. It's one of those things where, yeah, you'd like to have her, but it's not a necessity for you to win the game. So you keep her as long as you can. You got her into jury. You need her for a vote. That's all you really needed. So I thought he pushed a little too hard for Michelle as well.
Yeah, and then of course, then we saw tonight the downfall that really led into that double eviction all of the fighting with Natalie and with James. And, you know, I've heard a lot on the feeds about how, you know, in Big Brother 16, everybody was so chill. There was, you know, nobody ever went after each other. But that was intentional, right? And probably also exaggerated in the retelling.
Yeah, no, I mean, ultimately, there was always something going on in the house where there was a little bit of drama. But as people have pointed out, you know, we as a group really got along. We were a huggy-feely group. But more importantly, we would squash a lot of the drama by communication. And we never really let it get to that point. You know, Caleb and Cody had an issue over Amber. They pulled each other aside and talked about it. There were issues with Zach and a bunch of other house guests. We pulled each other aside and talked. We had like one house meeting the whole year. Every cast is different. It's the personalities that are put in there. There were potentials for some big blowups in our season. Fortunately for me and for some other people, it didn't happen. But yeah, all it takes is one word or too many showmances in the house at one time, and things get personal.
Yeah. All right. So in tonight's episode, we got to see a lot of the stuff that led up to the double eviction where Natalie has this conversation with Zakiya, which a little bit of the telephone game, I thought, with Zakiya's retelling of things to Pauly. But then things just start to spiral out of control for him. Is there anything you want to say to give Pauly a benefit of the doubt here in any of this stuff?
No, there's really no benefit of the doubt. There's some things that he should not have said. And that's just it. It's that simple. For me to sit here and beat it up over and over is a moot point. He said some things that game-wise he shouldn't have said, but he's also as a man, you should not say to a woman. It's that simple. I will say this, and this is not justifying Paul. I just told you what I thought about his actions. I'm not giving him any excuses for it. I do think, and this is a good game move, that Natalie played it up a little bit. I think she played it up a little bit as the victim, and that's a great game move, and I give her kudos for it. I don't think she was as offended or disrespected as she's leading people to believe. I think that she took advantage of an opportunity. She wanted to get Pauly out. She remembered some situations a couple of weeks prior where he made some passes at her, which is true. She did. So she used that to her advantage, which is an incredible, incredible game move to bring up something that is factual and use it at a later date to get James on board with your plan. Because everything she had been saying to James as far as game-wise didn't really work. Then she hits him with, oh, by the way, Pauly made a pass at me. And it's, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a second. No, that ain't going down like that. And that was kind of the flip. So I think Natalie knows what she's doing, and she's using whatever she can to her advantage.
Taryn, did you feel like that Natalie, did she seem like she was upset going into that conversation with Zakiya? What was sort of like the reason that she had that conversation with Zakiya at that point?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting because they aired it out of order. As Derek mentioned, when she talked to James about it, it was before James had flipped, and it was in an attempt to flip James against Pauly. She had already tried and he had said no, so she came at him with this. I don't think that means that she wasn't offended by it, but I think that she chose the time to bring it up, as Derek said. But with Zakiya, it was after everything had flipped. It was kind of like, I'm going to let you down, easy kind of thing. It was an interesting decision, I thought. I don't really agree with it because it blew a lot of stuff up that maybe didn't need to be blown up, and I don't think Zakiya took it very well. The reason, like, she didn't actually say a legitimate reason behind it other than just like, I wanted to let Zakiya know what was happening because I wanted to help her out as a fellow woman, basically.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the double eviction on Thursday. And I've really been sort of like marinating on this for a couple of days. And I thought the actual results from the double eviction where Bridget went home, I was like, you know, what was this that we just watched? But I do think that it was a really exciting show that we ended up seeing on Thursday night. I think I was overly hard on it when we did the recap on Thursday night, because you had this whole thing that we now saw what happened before the double eviction, where James comes out and says, hey, this is what I'm doing. Derek, did you feel like that was a huge missed opportunity for, if you have where Pauly feels like the only person he can trust in the house is Cody, they know that this attack has been leveled to their side of the house in the first part of the double eviction, they get the power there. It seems like such a terrible move to go after Bridget in that spot.
Yeah, I do think I thought it was a really bad move to go after Bridget. It just like Bridget was probably one of the lower people on the level of threats to the to Pauly and Corey. Natalie was a much bigger threat. Natalie is the glue that holds the other side together right now. Yes, Bridget was very instrumental in orchestrating this flip against Akia, but she's just like a person on the side at the moment. And what they really needed to do was to figure out that Paul and Victor had betrayed them, to figure out that Natalie was the glue that was holding everything together, and go after one of those, because, you know, Victor's great at competitions. You know, maybe if you take Natalie out, maybe the other side sort of goes away. So it was just like they had been so set on Bridget before going into the double eviction. And if Bridget had said anything about Pauly and Victor being the ones that were betraying them, if she had been like, hold on, guys, why are you targeting me? Pauly and Victor are the ones that said that they wanted to do this in the first place. They said that they're working with us. They told us about the executive alliance. Like, they're the ones that you should be going after. I think there's a chance that they would have. But she didn't say anything, and they were still just stuck on this idea that Bridget was their biggest threat when she really wasn't.
Derek, what were you thinking when you watched that double eviction show on Thursday night?
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, and for me, I think, honestly, it probably would have went the same way down if I was there, because at that point, Paulie and Corey felt like something wasn't up. Corey pulls the guys into the room and goes, dude, everything that happened before this, are we done with it? Let's move forward. Let's get back onto the plan. So Corey was acknowledging that, listen, we're all saying stuff about each other that we shouldn't be saying. Let's start fresh right here, because they knew they were not in the majority, and they were trying to say, listen, clean slate. I'm HOH. I'm not going to put you guys up. Let's move forward and get back on track. And I felt like they all kind of acknowledged that and were on board with it. And they thought they were just going along with the original plan. But they definitely knew something was up. But in a double eviction with that amount of time, one, Paul didn't have a vote because he was canceled out, so you don't know which way he voted. And then you have Victor, who was HOH, so he didn't vote that way. So you're wondering, did they really burn me or not? Or is it just seemed that way? So you go with your gut, and I think my gut would have told me the same thing. Stick to the plan. Get the stronger female out of the two. You can't put Natalie up because James is in your alliance. You're not going to put her up right now. You just told him you're going to work with them. So you go after the two girls that aren't in the showmance. And it was Bridget and Michelle, and they went for Bridget because they felt she was a bigger competitor.
So obviously I know that you'd like to see Paulie stay in the house this week, but let's just talk about it as a game move for the Victor and Paul side of things. That do you think that this is a good idea for them to go after Paulie right here? Or do you think that this is a situation like where Frankie Grande was sort of exposed at a certain point and you guys were ready that Beast Mode Cowboy was going to throw the battle of the block, you were going to go after him, and then he was safe, and then he sort of like worked his way back into the bomb squad and you guys were able to patch things up again?
It's tough because Paulie is a great competitor, so you got to get him out when you can. Would I have taken a shot at him this week? Maybe, definitely, if not this week, probably next week, because it's getting to that point. But I would want the numbers drastically in my side before doing so, because right now that's kind of like a three-way divide. I would want it to be a black and white divide where I know I'm in the majority for at least a couple weeks. I can go after a big target like a Paulie, or in my case, a Frankie, and I still have the numbers even if one of my guys get clipped. Victor did it so early that he's going to be in a position now where James, Natalie, Michelle, Nicole, Corey, they're not giving him the money yet. They're all kind of divided. So I think he's getting out the big target, but in the process, he's also making himself a big target when he really doesn't have a strong alliance around him. All he really has is Paul at this point.
Because it just seems like that we're going to get to a point where I think that Victor and Paul are going to find themselves in the minority in the house before too long. Yeah. And I think that Paulie has nowhere else to go if he was to stay in the house, except to just go with Corey and Nicole and go after them. But I'm worried about Paul and Victor moving forward from this.
You know, it's tough to see how it would work out, but you know, it falls a certain way. I don't think Paul's a great competitor. I know he keeps saying, I'm a great competitor. I'm not seeing it unless he's throwing them.
Oh.
Victor's a great competitor. I could see him doing dances with a duck. He's good at that. But that's about all I see him doing. I mean, he's got a couple and he dances around. But I do think he's in a great position right now. I said on my Periscope, I think he's going to end up winning the game. And I actually still see that happening, because although he's kind of offensive to some people in his words, he makes fun of everyone, they kind of like it. It's kind of like a Zach Rance type situation where, you know, you kind of love to hate him. And I think he's playing a good game. Right now, nobody's cross-referenced that he's the one facilitating information back and forth across the house. That's kind of what happened with me. Nobody ever cross-referenced all the way to the end. So it's plausible that he does do it, and he has a strong alliance, a good competitor in Victor. So it's kind of a similar formula to what I had in Cody. I can definitely see him winning the whole thing. But honestly, the more and more time goes by, I have a feeling these guys are going to clip each other, and we're going to probably have a woman winning this year, which would be awesome.
I sort of been thinking about this all weekend. I am starting to think that my new winner pick, and I know that it has been said by the live feed correspondent, it's impossible. I think it's Big Meech. I think Big Meech, that everybody sort of goes after each other, and she's the person. I think she's left there at the end. I think she's like the Steve. I think that she wins that final HOH, and I think she goes to the end, and I think she can do it now.
It's possible. I also wouldn't be surprised if they clip Cody and Nicole gets to the end somehow, because until comps near the end, which it is, Nicole can win comps. I know she hasn't yet, but they're concerned about her ability to win mental comps. So she's another one. The longer they keep her in there, the more of a threat she becomes. And she also has a strong alliance member. But yeah, I'd like to see with Polly going. I don't think James is playing a good game at all. Not at all. And that's coming from a guy who talked to him before the season started. I think his decisions are solely based off his love for Natalie and what may potentially happen outside the game. There's no strategy involved whatsoever. He's playing to America and he's playing to Natalie. That's it. I'm very disappointed. But he could end up winning too, because nobody sees him as a threat.
Could we talk about Nicole a little bit? Because so much has been made this season where people look at Nicole and the game that she's played and sort of, you know, trying to map everything to Big Brother 16 and say, Nicole has put herself in the situation that Christine was in Big Brother 16, which did not work out well for Christine. Have you had that same thought about Nicole's game in Big Brother 18?
No, I mean, I have, you know, I actually talked to Nicole's mom about this a little bit. I actually don't love the game she's playing this year. I think she kind of concentrated too much on one person.
Well, I don't know if anybody loves the game she's playing in Big Brother 18.
Yeah, okay. So you're on board. I thought she was going to come back and kind of try to play a more neutral game with everybody instead of like teaming up with one person like she did with Hayden, which did make her a bigger threat. She's kind of doing the same thing. And I don't think she's playing like Christine, because she's not in a majority alliance where she feels like she's part of the team. She's literally one of two people now, or going to be one of two people now. And she never really developed strong relationships with people other than Corey. And that's coming back to bite her now, because nobody trusts her. You have to do that early. That's got to be like week one or two, and she didn't do it.
Do you feel like if Corey goes in the next couple of weeks that she can bounce back from that and find a home with the women in the house?
I do. And I think that's what might end up happening, honestly. I think these guys are clipping each other because they have egos, and they could find themselves in a situation where one of them can't compete and there's only another one or two left, and it's a mental comp, and they get smoked by one of the girls. And then the girls say, guess what, guys? You're both on the block, and if one of you come down, the other one's going up. So it absolutely could happen. And like I said, I wouldn't be I'm going with Paul still, but like literally this year, you honestly never know. They're so disloyal to each other that it's crazy. I mean, the only ones that are loyal to each other are the showmances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can easily see a scenario where, you know, Paulie goes this week, Corey goes next week, and then Natalie and James decide, hey, look, Victor is way too big of a threat. We need to take a shot at him and Paul before we take Nicole out, because Nicole's not a threat. They pull in Nicole, they take the shot, they go back and forth a little bit, and then Nicole ends up winning a few comps down the road, and all of a sudden she's sitting in the end. Can she win? I'm not sure, but I think that it's very likely that we are a very likely possibility that we could see her go down that route.
And I think it's really important for Paul and Victor that they should get out Nicole next, because they need to bring Corey back as a number onto their side, because they're going to get outnumbered. If James has Natalie and Big Meech together, I could definitely see Nicole sliding in as a fourth person for that side, as opposed to if Corey, I think that he could bro down with the two guys. So I think that they really need to get Nicole out of the picture sooner than later.
Yeah, and she's the brains of the operation for sure. She's the one kind of coaching Corey along, so I agree with that.
Yeah.
And like that's why I agree with you that like I'm not super on board with this idea of getting Polly out before Corey. They just don't really have the ability to convince James and Natalie to switch to Corey at this time. But if they took Polly out, or if they took Corey out, then they'd have Polly and Nicole, and they'd kind of be separated. They'd be able to drag in Polly just a little bit. Polly can't go back to Natalie after everything that's gone down. And the way that it stands, Corey and Nicole were very close to James. And so they have a much tighter relationship to go back with James down the line. Even if Nicole goes out, I see Corey going back to James before he goes back to Paul and Victor. So I really think that if they could have, they should have kept Paulie, but they weren't able to this week.
Yeah, I really feel like for Paul and Victor, I think that they really saved the season in terms of the television of it all. But I really very much worry about their games from this point on, because it's hard. Other than, you know, the sort of trading HOHs, it feels like there's going to be a point where somebody from James or the girls are going to win, and they're going to put those two guys up on the block. And then I think that side is going to be done.
You don't think Victor's going up sooner than later because of what he's shown he's able to do?
Yeah.
You're crazy. They're going to put him up. He's a Caleb. He's a Frankie now. And that's what Paulie was. And now that Paulie's gone, Victor, you're not realizing you are now the biggest target in that house. You know, you're the biggest competitor. So you said you couldn't beat him because he was the biggest. That's the other thing I didn't like that he said in his HOH speech. I mean, these guys have plenty of times to talk about it. You don't sit there and say, man, you're the biggest competitor in this house and I got to get you out, because you're acknowledging that you have already sized everyone up and he's your only barrier to winning this money. So you're basically saying, hey, if I get you out, it's easier for me to win the whole thing because I know I can beat all these guys. And if you don't think that every single person is sitting there listening to that, even though it's very subtle, that's all the time you have in Big Brothers to take things and interpret it. So I would assume somebody's picking up on it going, all right, he's taking out his guy, not just because we want him out because he's disrespectful, but because he knows strategically he's standing in his way of $500,000.
Yeah. You should have just thrown beads at him.
Yeah.
Can we all say, and I have no problem with Victor. I actually really like Victor. Honestly, I think he's a good person, good player. I think he's playing the game clean. He's probably one of my favorite players in the house, to be honest with you. But that has to be the worst nomination speech, or one of the worst nomination speeches in the history.
What
of
are you talking? It was on Fleek.
Paul's speech was on Fleek.
I'm not even saying this for story purposes. You know how like you hear people talk in person and you feel sorry for them. I was watching it at home and I was like looking and I'm like, oh my God, just let it end. Just don't throw the beads. He just threw the beads. He just threw the beads. And I was like, I didn't understand the point of it. It was really bad.
Okay. We're going to get to some of your questions here in a little bit. You know, something I was thinking about, in the couple of days leading up to you coming onto the show, I think that one of the traits that I think that all of the great Big Brother players have is the ability, whether it's real or whether it's, something that they just put out there, the idea of humility, where I think that when you're in these conversations with other players, you're talking about how smart they are and how, you're probably not the kind of person who's going to win. And I feel like that's not really something that we were seeing a lot from Paul. From Paul Lee. How conscious were you to always try to be putting other people over in your conversations with them?
It was the foundation of my game. I mean, they made edits about it. I mean, I was okay with I'm secure enough with myself to belittle myself in every way possible. I'm slow. I'm not fat. You know, I'm not smart. I didn't care because I knew what the end game was. So I was more than willing to let everyone know how great they were. And they were more than willing to hear that information. And yeah, Paulie hasn't done it. Like I said, if I had more time to talk to him, I probably would have told him some other things, especially knowing what I know now. But, you know, it was a very quick conversation. And I knew that regardless of what I said, I knew Paulie wasn't like Cody. And Cody even said he wasn't like Paulie and that they were going to play a very different game. And that's what happened. They're two different people. And we knew Paulie wasn't going to go in there and play under the radar and just try to play a social game. He's in very good shape. He was going to go in there and play a Caleb game. I'm king of this castle. I'm going to win. Beat me. That's it. And when things didn't go his way, he got a little upset. He's doing it now, and he's going home for it. Mm-hmm. Caleb kind of adjusted halfway through. Paulie didn't have that chance, and that's why he's going home.
But you guys also pointed him in the right direction that really served his interest.
That's the other thing. Paul didn't have a guy there was a lot of times when Cody got frustrated in that house and I would kind of reel him in and let him know and put things in perspective. Cody's a good dude. Corey's a great dude. I really like Corey, but Corey doesn't know the game. Mm-hmm. So Corey's he's just winging this. And although he's his bro, he can't help him strategically because he doesn't know what to do. He's going to his girlfriend for that advice. So it's just not working out for him. You know, he doesn't have somebody to rely on. And the guy he thought he could rely on in Paul slit his throat. He got him, you know, and that's you got to give credit where credit's due.
In terms of the move to nominate Paulie and Corey, if you were Victor and Paul in this spot and this was a move you wanted to make, do you like the idea of putting them up on the block? Or would you say that the better move is to do it as a renom situation post veto? And we'll talk about the veto ceremony when we get to the spoilers.
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't think about that. They kind of drew the line in the sand by putting them both up there. If I were in their position, I probably would have said Victor. I would have said, Victor, put up Paulie. Tell him you're putting him up because you don't want the house to know you're working together and that he backdoored you. And this is kind of like an eye for an eye. And it's going to make the house think that we're working against each other. This is great. Then put up a pawn. Put up Michelle. Nobody's loyal to her. Everyone expects her to go up. Put her up. That gives you options come the veto if you win. because even if you don't win, Paulie or Corey were going to come down anyways. Now you have the option. Yes, you could say, well, Corey could have won and took Paulie down. Now both of them can't go up. That's coulda, shoulda, woulda. I mean, you're really trying to go too far in advance. I would have tried to hide what my intentions were instead of going straight after them. However, this guarantees that one of them go home. So what they were attempting to do, they're doing. So, you know, hey, kudos to them.
Yeah, it actually, I think, ends up being a better thing with Nicole ending up getting the super safety this week from, and who knows if maybe that might have been a factor, because I think they got that before the nominations came out. Were you surprised America voted for Nicole to be the recipient of the care package?
I'm not. I know that a lot of people aren't loving her game this year, but here's what I know of Nicole as a person. She's a great person. She's not playing a great game. You know, when Michelle called her on national TV, she's a snake and all these things. She's playing Big Brother. She's making deals. That's what it's about. But I know her. I've known her for 2 years. I haven't seen her a ton. But Nicole is genuinely one of those good people that you don't meet often. Like when I talk to her, I'm a pretty good judgment of character. She's genuinely a great person. So I think people see that. The problem is that you and I, we see the feeds because they get tweeted at us and all these things. So we're getting a different perspective. And a lot of people like to root for the underdog. That's just the way it goes. Regardless of if they're a good player or not, people like to root for the underdog. And Nicole was an underdog in my season. So she was highly touted and everyone loved her. On this season, she's a returning player and she's kind of aligned with the bad guys. So she's not a favorite player. The underdogs are Natalie and Michelle and Bridget. So I think the viewership is still loyal to Nicole. And although Natalie and James have really gotten a lot of airtime as far as their showmance, I think people still genuinely like Nicole. I mean, she's got over 400,000 followers on Instagram. She's well-liked. People like her.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised to see her get it.
She's one of the returning players, too. She's more of a known quantity than these other people that are sort of first-time players. And, you know, who knows? Bridget might have been number three, and then she went out in the double eviction as well, which is possible.
That's a strong possibility. That's a strong possibility, too.
Yeah. So then let's get into some of our questions that I want to start to ask you. All right.
Honestly, Bob, let me preface it by saying, if people have hard questions, I don't want them crying that you didn't ask them. Hit me with the hard questions.
All right, Scott, you hear that? You hear that? Okay. Yeah. Good.
Hey, give the people with the egg icons and the previous house guests as their photos an opportunity to talk to me.
Good. All right. Let's take some of these questions. This is from Roy, who says, do you think that Nicole has been very passive this season because in BB16, she wasn't in the majority, and now in 18, she is in the majority for the first half of the game and was playing to stay in the majority rather than playing to win? Yeah, Derek, I thought it was very unironic they gave her a super safety costume to wear because that does seem to be her superpower of that she's going to make the move to stay safe.
Yeah, I do. I think she was. I agree with that assessment on whoever just asked that question. I agree with that. I think she was just trying to stay in the majority before doing anything, before making strategic moves. She wanted to get all the crazies out, get a core group of people, and then decide how to take them out. And I also think her judgment was severely skewed by the fact that she has a huge crush on Corey. And I think that that's taken up a lot of her mental capacity. So, yeah, but I do agree with that. But I think, yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicole's game this season has been entirely played defensively. And you can sort of see why, right? Because she comes into the house in a great spot. And so she just kind of been riding that wave all the way down to where she is now, playing defensively, making sure anyone that mentions her name leaves the house. And like she's been very paranoid, and that has annoyed a lot of feeders, but it's sort of worked to her advantage in a lot of ways. Sure, she wasn't going in the right direction with this guy's alliance, but again, she's playing defensively, which it's a way to play. It's not the way I would play, but it's gotten her this far, and I do think it might get her toward the end.
Yeah. I do like her super safety costume, because then when I watch Big Brother After Dark, I watch the DVR of it in the morning, and then my son lets me watch it because he says, oh, Dad, that's a witch on TV. There's a witch. That's a witch. And then Paul is, he's going to go swimming when he wears the thing around the house. He likes that. Bobby S. says, does anyone benefit from trying to protect Paulie? It doesn't seem like he has jury votes, so could anyone try to bring him to the final two as an easy win? I definitely think it's something that Victor and Paul should be talking about this week. Is it too late, Derek?
No, Paulie's poison at this point. If somebody tries to even mention saving him, you're blowing up your own game. If I were anyone in that house, the last thing I would want to do right now is even suggest saving Paulie. He's gone. Paulie's going home.
Okay. This is from Shannon Kish, who says, Derek, how would you have navigated through all the showmances if you were on this season? And who would you have partnered up based on their game this season? Okay. So first part is the showmances and then a BB18 person that you might have paired up with. Not in a showmance.
Okay. I probably would have went, I would have tried to get close to Natalie. And the reason I would have got close to Natalie is because I would have been the married guy. So I could have got close to her. Nobody would have thought anything negative. And I know by getting Natalie on board with me, I got James's vote every week. So in order to get James, I just got to get Natalie. So that gives me two votes right there every week.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely the showman's couple I would go for, because without a doubt, no one is manipulated and controlled more than James is by Natalie. So that's a done deal. All I have to say is, Natalie, just tell him you're going to kiss him. And he'll put himself on the block. So that's where I would go with that. As far as the BB18 house guest that I would team up with, I would have probably gone for someone like Victor, because Victor is someone who's rational, he's charismatic, and he can win competitions if he needs to. So it's someone who, although Paul is saying that he's his social game for him, I think I could have been his Paul and probably better. Because I can win some comps too if I needed to. So I think that I probably would have tried to make a tight-knit alliance with Victor and then built around that with somebody like a Natalie who has James. And then those are like my buffer zones, you know? That's probably who I would have went with.
Derek, I was surprised that Paulie never tried to really, maybe Taryn can correct me on this, but he didn't really try to get Bridget under his wing after Frank left the house. And I felt like in the same way that you, and Victoria is a unique person in her own right. And so I don't know if it's a fair comparison, but I felt like that could have been somebody, instead of trying to protect Zakiya, I felt like that Bridget could have been somebody to keep in his back pocket for votes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's all hindsight, because when you're in there, you don't know all the parts. You don't know all the players and what's being said behind your back. And based on the information he had, he went with what he went with. But yeah, I agree with that. Bridget would have been a nice person to have in your pocket for votes for sure. And she's shown the ability to win comps once in a while.
Paulie did try to do that the week after Frank left, when Bridget was up on the block. And, you know, Paul wanted to target Bridget. Paulie was like, hey, I can bring Bridget in. You know, Frank told her to trust me. And that was one of his selling points to getting Day out. However, the following week, he kind of just let her go. He kind of got focused on other things. It seemed like Victor was talking to Bridget a lot, and Victor was getting close to Bridget, and Paulie found that very threatening. And so he just kind of let her leave his circle without, like, sort of realizing that he was letting her go, because he still spilled too much information, which was ultimately why the house was able to flip on him, because Bridget relayed that information and flipped the house against him. So it was very interesting, the situation between Paulie and Bridget.
Let's take some more questions. Stephen H. says, Paul appears to have gained control of the house. How long do you think it could last for? Could your boy be the winner of BB18? Derek, you think it's a possibility?
Yes, I do. I know a lot of people in my season said, no way he controls the house for the rest of the season. He's going to go home. They're going to catch up to him. And you would think that would happen. But this house kind of has their minds in other places. You have three showmances in there. Well, two left showmances in there. You have Victor, who's loyal to the death to Paul. And you have Michelle, who really has nobody. So Paul is in a good position to really hold on to Victor, start nipping out the showmances after this week. And really put him in himself in a position to win. And he does appear to be smart. I know he hasn't won competitions yet. I think he's won one HOH. Is that where we're at right now?
He was an HOH and he won a veto the first week.
Okay, cool. So he's won an HOH, he's won a veto. So he's won a couple comps. So he has the ability to win. And I think down the stretch, when it's five or six people left, it's all about, is your boy still with you, or is your girl still with you? And can you win a comp when you need to? Can you pull out the W when your back's against the wall? And I think he has the ability to do both.
See, I'm going to vote against Paul. Even though I like Paul on the show, he's been really good TV. I think that people have two reasons why they really want to win this show. I think that you have people who are like the super fans, that it means the world to them, like Steve and like an Ian. You have people like yourself who, in addition to being fans, have like a family that they're trying to provide for, and you think about what that money could mean. Here's Paul, single guy, who, not really a fan of the show, just wants to make good TV. I could totally see a scenario where we have sort of like a Tim Dormer from Big Brother Canada type situation. Like, yeah, I mean, do you think that Paul's really going to go nuts studying those last couple of weeks? Or is he going to be trying to come up with new catchphrases and new inflatable toys to run around the house with?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's, you know, stranger things have happened. Honestly, I think he has the tools to do it. If he gets bored and does what you're suggesting he could do, then yeah, he's going to blow up his game. But I think as he gets closer to the end, you start to realize it's a real possibility of winning $500,000. It gets serious real fast.
Taryn, what do you think?
I do think that Natalie has an edge over Paul position wise going forward in the game. With, if Paulie leaves, in particular, I think that she is going to have more control and more numbers on her side, and he will probably have to win out with Victor. That said, I do think that things are just kind of tending to work out for him. What happened in the double eviction with nobody ratting him out, I think he's probably going to get this co-HOH care package next week, and that could really, really help him out, especially if he uses it to take out Nicole instead of Corey, as you mentioned, which would probably be better off for him. And then, so if he can get down to that final five, he has a solid chance of winning out, especially since Victor will go first. But as I said, I think Natalie has the edge, but he is probably second.
Rob and Taryn, don't let me forget, I got a question for both of you when we're done. So when we're all done this, I got a question I want to hit you guys with, because I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
And Taryn, I want to say that tomorrow on Big Brother Happy Hour, I want you guys to really do a deep dive into what happens after this week.
Absolutely. Brent's going to try to kill me.
Okay. All right.
I know he already disagrees.
Whisper in the Rain says, Derek, part of your strategy was never sitting on the block all season. Can James or Nicole pull that off?
No, I don't think so. I think I ruined that for everybody. I think anytime someone gets close to it, they say he or she's never been on the block.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah, it's a pretty good strategy if it works. But I think they'll go on the block. I think James's time's coming up. I think Natalie's name is going to get thrown around to be a possible nominee, and I just see James throwing himself on the sword for her. He's a Texas boy. They're there for their women, and he's gonna defend it to the end, even when he's in the jury house voting for her. But he's gonna do it. And more power to him, man. If it works out after the show, he gets a woman out of the deal. I think that's ultimately what he wants. I don't think he cares about the money. I think he wants a girlfriend.
You laughed, Eric, but when they're on The Amazing Race, you'll see.
Well, they're already plugging that. From everyone's tweeting at me, they're already plugging that. I honestly, and people aren't going to like this, this is my personal opinion, not as a game player, I think they're a better version of Austin and Liz. I think when you're in that house, you really do fall in love with somebody, because it's all you have. You're completely cut off from the outside world. You're going through an experience that no one else can understand. And I really do feel that Natalie and James love each other, but it's more of a friendship. And I think that's okay with Natalie. I don't think it'll be okay with James.
So you're saying it's a better version of Megan James?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot better version, because I think it's mutual. I think Natalie really does care about James. And I think James really cares about her. I just think James hopes it's a blooming relationship that becomes more. Mm-hmm. And I think Natalie sees it for what it is. And I think she throws in little seeds to let him know, like, this is what it is. But yeah, then she also opens it up by throwing a kiss here and there. So I don't blame James for going for it. But I think at the end of the day, they'll probably be really good friends.
I thought it was a little bit of a left-handed compliment when Natalie said tonight, like, I love James. Like, I love him almost as much as members of my family or my really close friends.
Exactly. I mean, if you watch, I saw that whole segment on the feeds. A million people tweeted at me. But Natalie was very good in saying, hey, I know I liked Corey first and he didn't want anything. And I know I liked Victor second and he didn't want anything. But James was my third favorite. And I really like him a lot.
Yeah.
He's the best man I've ever met. So like I said, she's killing it. So I don't blame her for doing what she's doing. She's playing a great game.
I think she's got a really good shot to win too, Natalie.
I do too. I actually, with Paulie going out, I was loyal to Paulie. I didn't coach Paulie in that sense. I didn't coach James in that sense. I was pulling for Corey. I'm sorry, Paulie, James, and Nicole. But after all that said and done, I would love to just see a woman win it this year. It's time for a woman winner. Let's get a woman up there, see her crush the game out. And that's actually going to lead me to my next question. I kind of want to ask you guys before you hit me with one.
Okay, go for it.
You guys do this all day. I'm not watching the feeds that much. I'm catching the episodes when I can. When we were at this point last season, we were talking about Vanessa in a sense where if she won outright, she was going to be one of the best players ever. Do we agree?
Yeah.
We have that this year.
We did about 10 days ago.
with Paulie, you think he could have socially, you know, competition wise?
It was a question that was asked on this show that if Paulie wins the game, will he be considered one of the 10 best players to ever play the game? And I think that my answer to that was, yeah, if he wins, then he will be. He's playing, you know, he's in an incredibly tough position right now. And the question was, who will win, Paulie or the field? I mean, that's where we were about a week ago right now. So, you know, while it looks bad, you know, when it falls apart, it was pretty good up until a point. So, but I don't think we have an all-time great.
Other than Paulie, do you feel you have anybody in there who has strategically planned these things to come out the way?
No. Taryn, do you agree with that?
I would mostly agree. I think that if there's anybody who has the potential to get anywhere near sort of a top ranking, maybe it's Paul. If he like really just like kicks it into high gear, he's been improving throughout the game. If he continues to do so all the way toward the end, maybe he's up there, but I still don't think he's somebody that's going to like crack the top five or anything like Vanessa may have. But I think that he could be up there, and obviously Natalie is much stronger than we thought she was going to be, but definitely not somebody that's like been controlling the game by any means.
Yeah,
I'm voting for a woman winner. I want to see a woman winner this year. I want a woman winner. I want to see her come out and crush the game and go, hey, you guys thought you were all going to vote us out? Boom. Let's throw power.
5-3 right now. I think I'm telling you, Big Meech, who's coming after her, Taryn? Who's coming for Big Meech?
I don't think anybody votes for her in the end, though.
No, she's got Bridget on the jury. She's got Davon on the jury that they could maybe talk to Zakiya now because she was friends with Zakiya now. All those people on the jury right now are all pro Big Meech.
They all go in the jury and talk about what Michelle said about them.
Yeah, but she said that early. She said it early and then it was like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry I said that. Like, so I think she's going to come around.
You are right sense that like I could see it. In the sense that like maybe Michelle gets there in the end and she's sitting next to a guy and there is a lot of girl power sentiment in the house, especially coming from Natalie. Like Natalie will be pushing that so hard. We need to vote for a woman. We need a woman winner. I could definitely see Michelle beating a guy almost because of that. She hasn't made great relationships with most of those people, but you know, maybe she's sitting next to somebody like Victor who's already been out of the game before. Maybe they respect his comp wins. Maybe they don't. But it could happen.
Derek, if Natalie wants to vote for Big Meech in the end, you think James is going to go a different direction?
100% he will be voting for Big Meech. You'll wear a shirt. It'll be a whole progress. She won't have to say anything. He'll do it because that's his girl, man. That's his girl.
Yeah. That's funny. Okay, so then let's go to Sinafric. Derek, do you agree that it was a good move for Paulie to take out Davon? Now, you said, okay, what part of your advice, Paulie, was take out returning players. So for Davon, do you think that was a good spot to get her out?
Yep, I do. I think it was a great move to get her out. I think you got to get them all out. You got to get them all out. James, Nicole, they have an advantage over you that you'll never understand. They've played the game before. They know what to expect. They've been in these, you know, stressful situations, no matter what you do, they're at an advantage. And that's why when the whole Vanessa thing gets brought up, oh, you told him to get out. I told him to get out. All of them, get them out. Because as a newbie, you don't want one of these returning players infiltrating your group because they know the game better than you, period. So I would have gotten them all out. Davon was going back and forth. She was gossiping a lot. She would have been one of my early targets. Frank, when he started gossiping, he would have been gone. And I would get James out just because he's just basically a vote for Natalie.
So what about siblings of returning players? So did you feel like that? Did that come up since he was a sibling going in?
Yes, it did come up. 100% it came up because Tiffany was being thrown out there. There was originally, it was me, Ian. Stop me if I'm wrong, Taryn. Me, Ian, Vanessa.
Audrey.
And Audrey. And then there was James, Nicole, Frank, and Davon. That was all thrown out there. And Tiffany was thrown out there. And Polly was thrown out there. Like, and Tiffany was mentioned. And I wasn't too big on the Tiffany thing. I didn't really have much to say about her because I'm like, listen, you know, she could be good. She could be terrible. Like, play that one by ear. Because although she's Vanessa's sister, you never know. If she comes off and she's super emotional like Vanessa was, and you know she's like a ticking time bomb where she could just blow up everyone's game, get her out. But I don't really have an opinion on her at this point because I don't know her. But mine was more geared towards the returning players. Any returning players, they got to go. Siblings, eh. As we see with Polly, it's two different ends of the spectrum.
Just to go back to the idea of how much you're coaching people, you know, when I watch these live feeds, and I've watched a ton of this stuff over the weekend, you know, people are constantly talking about like, oh, Derek said to do this. Derek said to do this. I mean, do you, is this humorous to you that people think that you, you know, have planned out so many things that are happening?
Yeah, it honestly is. It's funny because, you know, I talk about it with Cody a lot, you know. There are people who are malicious about it. You have to understand something. I'm not just saying this to say this. We honestly don't care what you think. I love my fans and I love all these people, but at the end of the day, I don't care about the 10% of people that think I coerced everyone into playing the game that I want them to play. It's a joke. It's funny to me. I find it humorous. And I think part of the problem is Polly. Polly gave it light, you know what I'm saying, by continuously talking about me. And there are people who didn't like Cody and didn't like me when Pauly went into the game and wanted to see him lose. And this is just stoking that fire. I explained it on the Periscope. Taryn and I were talking about it earlier. I broke it down into the most simplistic form that I could. What I told you happened is what happened. There was a conversation the other night after my Periscope between James and Pauly, where Pauly says to him, "Hey man, I knew you were going to be in here." And he was like, "Derek." And he was like, "Shh, don't say nothing." But it wasn't confirming that I said it to him. It was confirming that we spoke about it, which I acknowledged. And James also confirmed that I hadn't told him anything, which I didn't. And then Pauly said something like, "I got the call 6 days before." And the people who want to contort it say, "Oh, Derek called him 6 days before." No, he got the call for the show 6 days before. Never called him. So again, it's humorous. I see Taryn kind of smiling in the background there. It is what it is. It is what it is. You're never going to appease everyone. For the people who were worried that I may have pre-manipulated something for them to do before the game started, I wanted to clarify that because that was something I was concerned about. But after I knew I put my two cents out there about that one, this is all just entertaining. It's a game show. I'm doing my thing. They're doing theirs. You got to keep them separate.
Mm-hmm. But even like the people on the show, like I hear Big Meech constantly talking about like, that's a Derek thing.
Yeah, it's a compliment. Honestly, it's a compliment because they're so fearful of someone playing a game similar to mine. How other way can you look at it than as a compliment? Victor says it. Paul says it. I think Nicole has mentioned it. James, it's a compliment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they could be saying, "Oh, dude, let him play like Derek. He was terrible." You know, I mean, it's so I find it flattering. It's humorous. It's all the above. It's pretty cool as a fan to see that. And I'm having such an influence on the game.
Yeah.
And I'm not even, but yeah, it's humorous.
All right, Derek. I had heard one of the pieces of advice that you had given to Polly was that you told him when you go into the house, it's very important to go undercover, change up your look, and try to look exactly like one of the other people in the house. Is that, did you tell him to get the Polly haircut? Or the Paul haircut?
No, what are you doing on that? I called Cody on that one. I'm like, dude, what is he doing? It's the worst. And I mean, I just honestly think he was growing out with Paul. Like, I genuinely feel he thought Paul was his Derek at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go to the end with him. I really believe that.
Well, see, I think he thought that Paul was his Cody.
Oh, okay. Touche. Very well said. So, you know, I think he felt he was his ride or die, even over Corey, because Corey had a girlfriend. And I think that he just was broing out with him hardcore. And now he has that stupid haircut and he's being sent home by the guy that he looks like.
That's got to feel really bad when you copy another guy's haircut and then he blinds on you. Like, hey, I'll get the same haircut as you.
It's good because I gave Cody a pretty bad haircut. And it was worse than the one that I did. It makes me look good. I'm cool with it.
All right. This is from Kelly Lynch. Derek, knowing Michelle is so volatile with all her crying, do you keep her or vote her out?
I hate players like that. I really do. I really do because literally, Oh, you just played
sad meat, yeah.
I don't want him to be mad at me.
Oh my god, that's terrible and awesome at the same time. Yeah, I don't like players like Michelle. I'm actually very disappointed because she's like the fan, super fan, and she is not a super fan at all.
Like, I'm literally the worst super fan in history.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's tough to watch. I mean, when Julie Chen tells you to relax,
yeah,
that's tough. So no, I would get her out because she's going to just flip and flop as much. And literally, she was going out the door and she was throwing people under the bus over something that didn't even happen. So she's just like somebody that you can't rely on for anything. And if she's not useful to you, she's got to go. And I don't see how anyone could see her as a valuable asset to them at this point.
But that's why I think she's going to be around for a while, because nobody's ever going to waste their HOH week on her. They're just going to say, well, she's...
I agree with you. More importantly, because people just set the tone this week. They're going after the big dogs now. I think now this is going to be a domino effect. Victor can't play next week. If Corey wins, Corey's not putting up Michelle and Natalie. He's going to put up Paul and Victor.
Yeah, there's pairs. If Paulie goes out, then the other people left in the house, there's Corey, Nicole, there's Victor and Paul, there's James and Natalie and Meech. She's the one person who's not in a pair.
So she might get used as a pawn. She might break the record for pawn this season. No, you're right. Not enough time. But yeah, I don't think anyone's too worried about her right now. Like, I don't think anybody sees her as a threat. I think she could be around for a while. You're right. She could, because you got to go after the big dogs.
All right. Let's take one more question. We got to get into the live feed. How are you doing on time, Derek?
I'm good, man. Okay. I'm good.
Okay, good. All right. This is from Synaphic. Derek, do you think Paulie made a mistake not using the veto on Zakiya? I felt like that he sort of like half-assed it both ways last week, where he didn't go all out to save Zakiya, and he didn't make his allies feel like he was 100% with them. Should he have used the veto on her?
If I were Paulie, I wouldn't have used the veto on her, because I think it could have showed his cards that he was really trying to protect her when he was saying he didn't care. So I thought it was a good move. I was really hoping he didn't use the veto on her, because if he did, he would have completely showed that I'm going to protect her if I can. And that's bad, because it would contradict what he was saying. So I thought it was a good move. However, it didn't work out.
Was the bigger problem that he won the veto last week?
Oh my God. Yes. So many times, so many vetoes. I mean, Rob, Taryn, I can tell you 100 times, he should have won about half the amount of competitions that he's won at this point. He had no reason to win them. He wasn't in any danger. He made himself a bigger target than he ever would have been at this point if he had just let other people win the competitions. It was an ego thing for him. Stupid. It was stupid. There's no other way to say it. It was dumb.
You know your boy's got to be Italian, because all he's doing is rocking gold chains this summer.
And you know what? Everyone knows I talked to Cody. Stupid. Stupid. I mean, I was like, dude, he might win the most competitions ever, but he's not going to win the show. You know?
Yeah.
He's not going to win the show like that.
Okay. Let's get into, we're going to talk the spoilers. Of course, Big Brother Happy Hour coming up on Monday, and then we'll be back again live Wednesday night. Corey Cool will be here to talk through everything from Wednesday night's Big Brother Zingbot night coming up. But let's talk live feeds here from the weekend.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
All right. So lots of stuff going on from the live feeds. Of course, we saw through the nominations, which went down on Friday. And we had with Corey and Paulie going up on the block. So, Taryn, where should we begin?
I guess we should probably begin by speaking, you know, where we left off with people winning too many competitions. Victor won the veto.
Yes, yes. So Victor wins the veto, and ultimately Zingbot came through. Lots of punishments for some people in the house also.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. In particular, I think the best one is probably Paul's. He's dressed up like a secret service agent. And ever like there's a red alert that goes off, and he has to like go around and pat people down and like do checkpoints and stuff.
Derek, is it true that you coached Paul to be a secret service agent?
CBS actually brought me in to consult on this one, and explain the proper techniques and doing a pat down. So yeah, this is case of CBS having Derek infiltrate the game.
Yeah. And that is pretty funny, that the outfit that he's in, and he takes it, you know, he takes it very seriously, that he's like, Okay, we got a perp over here, and he does a good job with that. What is Corey supposed to be now, Taryn?
He's in the Patriot Tart, I think it's called. It's looking flag sort of thing. He has like a bald eagle on one hand and like a Zingbot thing on the other or something. It's quite absurd, and it's, I believe, our first showmance in the history of Big Brother to both be wearing costumes at the same time.
Yes. Corey, I think it's also reporting it's a very uncomfortable costume for him. But I think we're burying the lead here, of course. We have Paulie, who is also punished, supposedly, right, Taryn?
Yes. So Paulie got this punishment, which was that he has to like bake a pie every time this, you know, this alarm or whatever goes off. But he said that he was not willing to do it, that he was going to just take penalty votes and just decide to not do it instead. And it hasn't gone off at all since the veto competition, at least as far as I know. It may have gone off during this podcast. I'm not sure. But up until the start of this podcast, it hadn't gone off at all. So there's some speculation, like, is it going to go off at all?
Yeah. Are the punishments optional, Derek?
No, they're not optional. And
the suggested punishment?
Yeah, and I hope he values what time he has left in the game and realizes it's all in good fun. It is just a game, and I hope he kind of snaps out of it and does what he's supposed to do, because you don't want to go out like that. You don't want to go like a sore loser.
I am getting confirmation in the chat that the alarm did just go off, and he is currently making a pie.
Oh, okay. Look at that. Okay.
Good. Good.
So let's go just to Paulie's campaign strategy. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about when Frankie Grande got caught up and everybody was coming after him and things looked really bad for him at that point in the game. And he was able to come out of it with the help of some revelations and stuff like that at that point in time. So in terms of how Paulie is handling this, and again, as Dan Gieseling likes to say, there's always a way out of these things. So what do you think in terms of how he's handled it? Because it seems like that he's just been sort of like deny. You know, I was just trying to play the loyal game and I was just being loyal to you and I was looking out for you and I was looking out for you. And he really has not ever said, you know what, you guys, you got me on this one. Okay, I got to call, you know, mea culpa, my bad.
It's tough to watch, but yeah, I mean, I think he's in denial right now and he's trying to play the victim. And I think he's trying to get the sympathy on his side, but it's fallen on deaf ears. And I think he's going to come out and say, you know what? I got got. Mm-hmm. You know, I got got. They came after me. I was the king of the castle and now I'm going home.
Yeah.
Yeah. There really wasn't a whole lot he could have done, but how he approached it after he got caught, after he was put up on the block, it really didn't serve his purpose very well, because he went around denying many of the things that had come out about what he had done. And that doesn't really work when people are already sold on the fact that you've done it. They're not going to turn back around because they've gone way, way too far down that path to ever come back away from it. What he needed to do was just admit everything. Like, I've been completely caught. Like, what a shame. Like, I'm just totally, I'm dead in the water now. There's nothing I can do. You totally got me. Let them accept that they've caught you. Let them have closure. Everything's out in the open now. That allows you to have some sort of new beginning start, right? Like, there's some new relationship that can form. Okay, now that we know where Paulie is, we know what he's done, we know exactly where he lies, now we can start making plans with him in mind, as opposed to like, well, we just need to get him out because he's too complicated.
You know, we need a little pigeon to just come in from over the house with like a little note, probably what he needs to do, you know?
But I don't know if he can follow his instructions. That's the problem. if you could phone a friend right now, talk him through the rest of the week, I don't know if he could do it.
Genuinely, if I could talk to Paulie right now, honestly, I wouldn't tell him anything game-wise. I would just tell him, embrace this. It's a once in a lifetime experience. You played a good half of the game. It fell apart at the end. It happens for a lot of people, but don't go out like a sore loser. Go out with your head up. Make sure you finish this game out. One, you're not completely out of it yet because there is a round trip ticket. There's a buyback. But even if there isn't, you don't want to be that guy that's remembered for, you know, being a sore loser at the end. You don't want to be that guy because you're an athlete. Go out with your head up. Be a man about it. You got beat. own it.
Right. And again, it's Sunday night. A lot can change by the time we get to Thursday. You mentioned the round trip ticket. There's also this mysterious Friday night episode of Big Brother that we don't really know what's going on and why that's on our TV schedule for this Friday night. But do you think that things have gotten so bad that if Paulie leaves the house on Thursday and then comes right back in or comes right back on Friday, will he just go right back out the door the following week? Are there things that bad?
They're that bad, but the problem is if he wins the competition, if he wins the HOH when he comes back in, then all bets are off. However, I think if he came back in, won the HOH, he would still not put up Paul and Victor. No, he would. Honestly, I know you're tired, you're laughing.
No, it's true.
But should he?
Put him up. Of course he should. Of course he should.
Who's going to get James and Natalie are going to work with him? I think that's his best chance to sort of get PP back together.
He came back in one HOH. He put up Michelle and Natalie. He's so gung-ho on the bromance, on the executives. He is literally...
He says, hey, that's the only- look, I just want to have what Cody and Derek have. That's all he wants. You ruined his life, Derek.
Every season is different. Honestly, I think if he comes back in and you go, oh my God, he just won HOH. He's going to go after Victor and Paul. He's going to go, listen, stick it with the executives, Michelle, Natalie, take a seat.
Yeah.
Honestly, if one of them win, he'll put Nicole up.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think this ties back into this decision that Paul and Victor are making this week to get him out, because we're also seeing at the same time, Corey and Nicole are both talking about how they do want to go after Victor and Paul next week as soon as possible. They are gunning for those two hard, and they want to align James and Natalie. So we are seeing James and Natalie at the center of this, while those two pairs are going to be targeting each other. Yeah. And again, that's why I think it would have been better had they been able to get Paul or get Corey out instead of Paulie. But again, they weren't really able to do that. So unfortunately,
This brings up a valid point, though, too. This is probably why I would have waited one more week, because I think the round trip ticket whole twist ends after this week. Am I right?
Yes.
So if you know that you have a round trip and a jury buyback, why not wait one more week to see what that is and if they have it? Because now you could send Paulie out. You just showed your cards. He has the round trip ticket. He's coming right back in. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a reset button. So that's the only thing you're gambling. I would have rather tried to flush out the twists and then know that when you send him out the door, he ain't coming back.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another question here. Benjamin says, any possibility Paul could get James and Natalie to flip and vote out Corey? I mean, that would be beyond unlikely, right, Taryn?
Yeah, at this point, he hasn't. I think it could have been possible if he had been laying the groundwork from the start of the week. But he just hasn't been doing it. Everybody's set on Paulie right now. Nobody wants to change. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And it really, he needs to own, whatever people like, even stuff that he didn't even do. He should just everything he did it all. Just get it out of the way. And then you can move on from there. Taryn, what else has been going on over the weekend? Has it just been all Paulie all the time?
It mostly has. It's been a lot of Paulie talking with the guys about like, why wouldn't we just stick it out to the end? I had you guys. And them just kind of slowly outing his game and him just slowly admitting more and more about the fact that he had two threes on both sides of the five personal lines and he was set up in the middle and like that's not cool. And getting into lots of arguments with Michelle and talking about Big Brother 16 a lot and talking about loyalty a lot. And Michelle at one point said, if you say loyalty one more time, I'm going to shoot myself. Like lots of stuff. Oh, and he's also been talking about like he doesn't want to stay in jury. He says that if he goes to jury, he'll wait like a week or two to see if there's a buyback, and if there's not, he wants to leave. And so it's just been a lot of of Paulie trying various things. He's also been talking to Victor. He talked to Michelle about he had Michelle convinced to give him a pity vote. She was feeling pretty bad for him. Then he went to Victor and was like, "Hey, man, if you took Corey off the block and put somebody like Natalie on," he was hoping that he could get Michelle's vote and then maybe he could stay, but Victor was having absolutely none of it. So it's just been Paulie has been going around trying to make something happen, and it's just nothing has been happening.
Yeah. Let's take another question. Michael GM, do we know why Corey was clapping with Paulie after his rant? Taryn, do you know anything about that?
Corey was totally on Paulie's side. Yeah. Corey was Paulie ranted to Corey a lot about like the situation, and Corey was totally on board. That said, Corey and Nicole have been talking just today about like, oh, I feel like we didn't see everything that went down. Like Corey is now sort of backing off, saying I don't really agree with what he was doing. It was really aggressive. so they have backed away, but absolutely in that moment, Corey was fully on board with Paulie's point of view.
All right, let's take from Paul Reaney. Rob and Derek, do you feel that production is being a little disingenuous in the edit, giving James too much credit for the house flip when it was really Natalie and Bridget? Now, Derek, I don't know how closely you're following the feeds day to day. Maybe Taryn, you could speak more to this. But Derek, do you feel like that the story has been a little bit distorted by the time it's getting to TV?
I'm going to refer to Taryn on that one because I'd be lying to you if I say I'm watching the feeds. It's on. I get clips from the fans when they send me stuff. But no, I'm not. I haven't been. I don't really control that whole thing.
Okay, Taryn, in the retelling of this tonight, how accurate did they get it?
I feel like they had done a very good job on Thursday because they gave Bridget a lot of credit and Bridget deserved a lot of that credit. But I feel like they regretted that because Bridget then went home immediately. And so then they focused on Natalie a lot, which again, like Natalie, I think was also the driving force here. But again, like the way that they showed what happened, was a little bit out of order and didn't really show just how much Natalie had been pushing. She even says like, because I know that Zakiya is going home or something, I'm going to tell James, which it was all messed up. It wasn't quite what happened, but I do think that Natalie is getting enough credit for it.
Okay. Derek, just to go back to this idea of where Paulie had this 5-person alliance with the guys, where it's him and Paul and Victor and Corey and James, similar in structure to what you have in Big Brother 16, with yourself and Cody and Frankie and Beast Mode Cowboy and Zach, I guess. So how do you work with that sort of a group where you had this group of five where, you know, you're hearing on one side, oh, these three, we're the real three, we're the real three. Was it just a unique group that you guys had where you were all sort of in agreement? Okay, well, Zach is five, Beast Mode Cowboy is four, and then Frankie sort of thought he was the two. How were you able to keep that from getting blown up?
I mean, I think a lot of times when they were getting together, they were always talking about strategic aspects of the game. That was what they based a lot of their conversations on, what the next move was. I found in our season that with those five guys, we talked a lot about Caleb's family and friends and my family and friends and Cody's family and friends and Zach's Pizzle. And we knew all their names. Like I knew all of every single person in that group, their family members, how old they were, what they did for a living. I tried to build a group based on real, as much as you could in Big Brother, real things about who they were as people outside the game. And it makes that bond that much closer because you're not just cutting an alliance member, you're cutting a friend, a real friend where you know their family members. You can almost envision what they would look like. And I think that's what we were able to do. I knew how many brothers Caleb had. How many brothers? I knew Paulie and Angelina, and that her nickname was Teeny while I was in the house before meeting them. You're putting names with the faces that you're envisioning, and I think that creates a closer bond where this is a strictly game for these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. How come nobody ever got concerned with how close you became with Victoria when that person was sort of there? How come that didn't raise more suspicion with the other people in that group as well?
Well, I think what you alluded to earlier, Rob, with Mish could end up happening is what kind of happened with Victoria, because she never was viewed as a threat. She had no alliance members. I constantly talked about her in a way where I was HOH. I'd nominate her every time. I didn't have a vote. They chose not to send her home. I knew they wouldn't, but I put her up there for the grabs. I said, hey, Victoria, you're going on the block. Every time that I went HOH and she was available, I put her up there. So it's one of those things where everyone always thought there was a bigger target sitting next to her. Once we got to jury, I didn't care at that point if she went home. I just wanted her to get to jury because I knew she was a guaranteed vote for me. The whole her getting to the final three with me, I wanted her there because I knew she would take me if she happened to win. That's when that became a thing. Mm-hmm. But when we got to the final three, contrary to popular belief, I didn't want her to win. I wanted to go to the end with Cody. So at that point, I didn't care. She was already in jury. She was a vote for me. I tried to win that final competition to beat Cody, honestly, but he won. And I would have rather him win, thinking about it in hindsight, because I think if I would have won and I voted her out, she wouldn't have gave me her vote. So it kind of worked out good for me, but that's not what I planned. I wish I could say I did. I wanted to win that final HOH. That was not planned for those people who think that it was. I didn't throw that final comp.
Mm-hmm. Taryn, any BB16 question out of all that?
No, I mean, I think that something that Derek did really well with Victoria was that, like, I mean, as he mentioned, anytime that she was on the block, he was able to make a very convincing case as to why it was better to get somebody else out. And people were like, you know, why aren't we getting Victoria? We need to get Victoria out. But every time it came to it, it was just like somebody who just needed to go first. And that's something that just Polly wasn't able to do with Paul and Zakiya, where, like, with Zakiya, you know, Polly, again, he did like the on paper, he did the same thing where he was like, yeah, I'm totally willing to cut Zakiya, totally willing to do it. But then when it came down to it, he wasn't able to make the same kind of arguments that that Derek was able to really convince the people that, you know, Michelle needs to go first.
It's really tough to waste a vote on a Victoria when you have people like, you know, Victor and Paul. You always want to make your HOH count. Yeah. So that it's tough to bite that bullet.
This is something that was talked about a lot in some of the preseason podcasts that these guys did. But there was some debate over, they did a podcast about really bad moves on Big Brother. Okay. And certainly Cody taking you to the end was a very bad move because people say, well, why not take Victoria? But one of the things that was talked about in that podcast was that you were really the organizer of sort of a solemn oath of everybody from the bomb squad of, hey, if anybody takes Victoria to the end, then we can't vote for them. If anybody goes ahead and takes that and makes that move, and that you sort of set the wheels in motion for Cody to ultimately take you in the end. Is that fan fiction or is that true?
Well, it's 100% accurate. I've said it 100 times. We sat in the room with all the guys. You can go back and see it. And we all agreed when Hayden, everyone was still there, that we could take her along. But if anyone tried to take the money easily and win against her, we would vote against them out of spite. It was said right in the HOH room. Everyone knew it. It was in Cody's head. And to be frankly honest with you, it was in my head, too. If I thought about even cutting Cody, I was like, shit, I could cut Cody and literally be walking away with 50 grand because they're going to all look at me and go, you were the one that brought this up. You said if somebody took her, you're going to do it. And now you took her, you're not getting the money. So trust me, it crossed my mind, and I'm sure it crossed Cody's mind. I wasn't going to take her to the end and lose. So our thought was, Cody and I, was go to the end with each other. One of us is guaranteed $500,000. One of us is guaranteed 50, and let's battle it out like gentlemen. There was no, I'm going to take him because he has a family, or I'm going to take Cody because I think I can beat him. It was just like, listen, we're going to the end. We're going to guarantee that one of us has to win the money. And something else that's never brought up, you have to understand, if Cody or I would have took Victoria, Caleb would not have voted for us. I promise you. He would have voted for the person who didn't, but he would have voted for Victoria because he was scorned by us, but he said it in his final speech. I could say a lot to both of you Jamokes. Basically, he didn't want to vote for either one of us, but you have no choice when we're both there. So contrary to popular belief, there was never a thought on either one of our parts to take Victoria. Because not even, you know, logic, it wouldn't have made sense. We would have been taking an undue risk. Cody thought he could beat me in the end by winning that final HOH. Okay. He really did. Thought by taking me, he had the W.
All right. And this was Taryn's defense of why that Cody didn't make that bad of a move.
Listen, I know people want to believe he's just an idiot, but we thought about a lot of things. And again, when you've been in that game, you build that relationship and you realize it's not a guaranteed win if you do take Victoria. To you, it was a guaranteed win. To everyone in the media, it was a guaranteed win. But nobody knew what that jury was saying. And I can tell you from talking to previous house guests, and I won't throw names out there, Cody and I have both talked to people that were in that jury house who said there was serious consideration to vote for Victoria if she was in there. They're not going to say that as a bitter jury member in their interviews, but you have my word. There were numerous people that planned on voting for Victoria if she was sitting there.
Okay. All right, let's get back to the BB18. I don't want to be like we're on the live feeds talking about BB16 all the time.
Hey, I've got Derek on my side now, so yeah. What more could he want?
Okay. Jennifer Pollock says, do you think that Paul will be getting next week's care package? I originally thought it was Meech, but after the DR, how could it not be Paul? Paul's going to get the next America's Choice, right?
I would say Paul. If not Paul, it's going to go one way or the other. It's going to be Paul, or I think it'll be Corey. Whose fans are more? Nicole's or Paul's? Whose fans are bigger? That's the question, right? I mean, that's the question. I think Paul will get it, but it's going to be either Nicole's fandom or Paul's fandom. That's who I say gets it.
Yeah. I think it's Paul.
Yeah. I was thinking that Michelle might also have a chance because Michelle got into like a huge screaming match with Pauly as well. And I thought maybe if they showed that, if they'd get a lot of sympathy on Michelle, on TV. But it wasn't on the episode. So I don't think she has a chance anymore. Instead, we got a lot of Paul. We got a lot of Paul being the one to stab Pauly in the back. He did a little dance. He had a great line about, you know, ex-wives and kids. And I think Paul is going to get it.
Yeah,
I think Paul will get it. But like I said, I didn't think Nicole was going to get the care package this week. I thought she'd be in the running. You asked me that earlier. But it just shows that she still has some power. She still has some pull.
Okay. Let's do a couple more questions with Derek. Kim is bored. Says, what are Derek's thoughts of not Pauly not campaigning against Corey? Okay, so that Pauly did not want to campaign against Corey, that there's like a video going around where he's like swearing to him, I'm not going to campaign against you. But then he did take the veto away from him in the veto competition. So what do you think about Pauly bond or at least vow through Sunday that I'm not going to campaign against Corey?
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. And I don't see him going against them. I think that the way that family is, they're big on loyalty and stuff. And I think that, I mean, you saw with Cody, so I'm not surprised by it. As far as taking the veto away, that doesn't surprise me either, because they both decided we're going to try to beat each other. We love each other. We're going to try to beat each other. That's it. Period. Best man wins. And they both lost. So I think none of that surprises me. And I don't think we'll see a strong campaign from either Corey or Pauly.
Yeah. Taryn, I've been seeing that Nicole and Corey are concerned that Pauly could self-evict this week and they'd be left in a scenario where a la Willie Hantz in Big Brother 14, when I believe he was on the block with JoJo when he went out, then they had to put somebody else on the block. And then JoJo still ended up going out on the Thursday that week. Nicole seems very concerned that something similar might happen this week if Pauly decides to just leave.
Yeah, I mean, they are concerned about it. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I don't think it's something they need to be overly concerned about. I honestly don't think he's even going to leave Jerry. I think that, you know, he's upset right now. He's upset about a lot of things. He's very emotional at this moment. And I think that ultimately what's going to happen is he's going to get evicted. He's going to go to jury and he's going to cast a vote eventually.
Okay. All right. This is from Scranton Analytics. Derek, playing with Cody, he was known as very flirty player and it never hindered his game. What's the difference between Paulie's flirting and Cody's flirting? Yeah. Which Califiore is the better flirt?
Well, I think they're both equally good flirts. I think the difference is what I said earlier. Paulie's been flirting this whole time. Everyone's been flirting this whole time. Natalie, even in that conversation, Taryn, stop me if I'm paraphrasing, but Natalie even admitted that she was flirting too. That was their game. Natalie took advantage of an opportunity to exploit his flirting, which is a great game move. They were all doing it. I think Cody just never really got called out on it, where Natalie called Pauly out on it and said, I didn't feel comfortable with it. And it went from being a positive, acceptable thing to a really big deal and something that got a lot of airtime tonight. I think even during that conversation, and I only got a snippet sent to me, but didn't even Victor say, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. You said I was disrespectful when I left the house, Natalie. You said that my comments were disrespectful. You made me look like a clown on national TV. So I think that's part of Natalie's strategy, which is, again, a great, great strategy.
Yeah, that was something Victor was very upset about when he came back to the house, because Natalie had left that goodbye message where she said that he was disrespectful to women, essentially. And
yes.
So Victor did feel very sympathetic in that moment, while at the same time being against Pauly.
Pauly, exactly. So I think it's a move that Natalie's using, and she's using it well. The whole, you know, your the way you talk to women is disrespectful. She did it with, like I said, with Victor. She's doing it with Pauly. And Pauly is guilty of being a habitual flirt. And it's coming back to bite him. For Cody's season, it didn't happen. It was socially acceptable.
Yeah. Do you think that Pauly will have any issues with Jersey girls when he gets back home?
I do. I think he's going to have a lot of explaining to do. Somebody tweeted at me and I answered it. I said, listen, I don't think he feels that every single Jersey girl is trash because his mother's a Jersey girl and his sister's a Jersey girl. I think he's caught up in the game and he's basically assuming that Natalie's the only Jersey girl in the world right now, which is not the case. Paulie is going to have some things to explain when he gets home. And I was asked about it the other night, and I'll say it here again. He's going to have to go on shows like this and get his opportunity. Oh,
that'll be the day, Derek.
You don't think he'll come on?
I don't think so.
It's possible. I mean, my thing is you got to own what you say. And I there were things that I said in the house that people didn't like, and I addressed them about Donnie. And you just got to own your shit. It's a game. It's not who you really are. So you got to come on here. Opie comes out and explains himself and apologizes for some of the things he did. But if he doesn't, that's on him. You know, that's ultimately his call. Not Cody's, not his family, not mine. Paulie Calafanta for whatever questions you guys have when he gets out.
Yeah. Okay, and one last one. This is from Michael Reiser. Derek, we did not talk about this type thing happening. Which I don't know who made this picture with it. We have Paulie crying, and then a bunch of the people out of the house laughing, and Derek also in the picture.
He's an emotional guy. Like I said, it's one of those things where at the end of it all, I'll be happy when it's over, and then you guys, you know, the Twitter fans and all that stuff can tweet at Paulie because. You know, that's something that I just don't agree with is tweeting at the family members and friends and ludicrous. But, yeah, everything he does in that house, man, you sign on the dotted line. You got to own it. The good stuff and the bad stuff.
Right. Right. Look, it's a happy story, when you just see like, you know, the success, but you know, I don't think that he really has seen a ton of this show coming into it and, you know, has seen it. Everything work out well once, and then it can go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and not everyone's the same. There's different house guests, different personalities, and you have to adjust to the people that are on your season. And I think he thought he could just take the Big Brother 16 template and apply it, and you can't. You have to adjust on the fly.
Derek, I compared the other night. I said that this was like if you were the Bill Belichick, is this Eric Mangini or Josh McDaniels in the Big Brother house?
Oh, obviously it's Eric Mangini. I'm not going to say Josh McDaniels has done okay, but Eric Mangini. No, I mean,
typical listen, you know, Jersey coach out
it,
there.
It goes back. It goes back to what I said. I'm glad you said it, and I didn't have to. Like, I talked to him for an hour. And how much can you really tell somebody? I was in Texas. He was in New Jersey. It was an hour conversation. Nothing more than that. And I told him everything I could. I absolutely talked to him. I gave him some advice. Most of which he didn't follow. Like you said it best, honestly. He's his own person. He went in there and played his own game.
Hey, Derek,
that's it.
Meech has listened to every episode of this podcast.
Yeah. What's your guys' opinion of Meech, honestly, as a player? Because I know my Taryn, you're a super fan. You tell me.
Well, I'll tell you that she's not a super fan. She doesn't even watch half the seasons.
Like, I'm literally the worst super fan in history.
No, I think that she's okay. I think that she's one of these people that I think that she was definitely super emotional. I think she did a very bad job in the first half of the game. I think she was blinded by this, that you know, this whole thing that she loved Frank and really just wanted to be like, was like all starstruck by Frank and like hated Bridget because she wanted to be the person who was hanging out with Frank all the time. But now I kind of feel like that she went through this whole thing. And I do feel like her feet are under her to a degree. And I do think that it's similar to Steve last season where I don't know if he was great in the first half. But I think that now she's at a point here where now she's heading into the final seven. And I kind of think that she has a lot of momentum. And when it comes down to now, I think that this is the part of the game like we saw with Ian Terry as well that favors the super fan. So if you can ride out the first half and be sort of the awkward super fan and get through it, then nobody's looking at you as a threat. And it's ironic because it's the time when they're the most threatening, when we're going to start getting into these competitions of count all the things in the house on what day did this happen. And I think that she's got the best chance to win those contests.
He does. And I think Nicole does too. I mean, it's funny. I got this tweeted at me a couple weeks ago and Taryn, this is where I'm pulling from your memory. But from what I heard, Michelle was big on bragging about how she would go on the online sites before the season and kind of like bash house guests and all these things.
And podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah, and podcasts. And the irony is she's the most concerned about her public image out of everyone. So I kind of like seeing this because she represents a very small portion of the Big Brother community that loves to hide behind the computer and talk about house guests. Now that she's in there, It's a little different.
But Derek, you know psychology. You know the kind of person that, like, the person who's always lying about things is always thinks everybody else is lying. So it's obvious, like, the person who's, like, going to attack people online is the most worried about people attacking her online. Okay. Yeah.
The irony, how the tides have changed.
Yeah, well, and can I just need to say, on behalf of Steve, comparing Michelle to Steve, I think Steve is a much better player. I think... Yeah, and I think what happened with Michelle is that, sort of like Nicole, she was playing very scared in the first half of the game. She was very preoccupied with a guy, and she was very, very defensive. But when she was put up on the block and she thought she was going home, it's like the ground opened up underneath her and she had nothing to lose. And she found this sort of strength in, like, oh, well, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to do whatever. And she's still in that mode. And that's what's allowing her to sort of move forward in the game. And that's I think, the change we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you know they say it, even as athletes, when you're comfortable and you play loose, you usually play a lot better. And I do feel like she thinks she's on borrowed time right now, so she's going out guns blazing.
What is dead may never die. That's Michelle's motto at this point. All right, so we'll see what happens from here. Of course, Derek is on Twitter at Derek L. Anything else you wanted to say about all of this Big Brother 16 or anything else you're doing?
No, nothing about Big Brother. I will say this because I know you have a huge viewership, and I haven't said it. You know, everything that's going on in my life right now, a lot of it stemmed from Big Brother. Honestly, I'm not trying to be corny right now, but, you know, this television show, this book, I can honestly tell you that I've been told by people that work with me now that part of the reason that I was able to do these things is because of the support that I have outside after Big Brother. So I just, again, if I haven't said it already, thank you so much to everyone, because it's the God's honest truth that I'm working hard, but if it wasn't for the support that I have outside of the game, and since I've gotten off the show, I would not have these opportunities. I would not be out in Los Angeles working on one of the biggest cases in the history of our country. And I would not have a book coming out because nobody would want to read it. So I thank everyone who has supported me. It means the world to me. I know I don't do as many of these things and I'm not as into the show, but it's not that I don't care. It's just because I'm trying to come out with some new stuff.
Hey, I'm sure everybody appreciates it. We had a huge live audience watching the show tonight. And I mean, it really was. I mean, talk about, you know, current events in that house. This was a real interesting night to get you on here, Derek. So thank you very much for coming on. We always do appreciate it. Hope that everything is going well at home. How's Tenley doing?
He's doing great. Peyton's doing well, too. Peyton's got her first tooth coming in. So that's cool. I'm happy I got a little break to see him because it's tough being gone for 3 weeks. But yeah, everyone's healthy. Everyone's happy. I could not ask for more, honestly.
All right. Well, Derek, thank you so much. Of course, Taryn, you can follow him on Twitter at Taryn Armstrong. We're going to be back with more Big Brother on Wednesday night live after the episode. Talk about the Zingbot and everything there. And of course, the Thursday eviction show. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for our podcast feed. Get every episode of the podcast delivered to you right after we do it. Until then, do we have a special Derek hashtag? Hashtag Coach Derek.
I saw Coach Derek, yeah.
Yeah, hashtag Coach Derek. Let's go with it.
Okay.
Stoke the fire, Rob. Just keep it going, man.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Looking forward to reading your comments on Rob's website.com. Take care.